Good morning. It's great to be with you today. If you are not yet registered for Church Camp, can I add my encouragement that you sign up? I'm really looking forward to being at Church Camp with ORPC this year. And my wife, Glenda, will be here. She can't be here today. Glenda will be at camp, so if you just want to see Glenda again, come along to Church Camp. Remember, you need to register today or next week. Look forward to seeing you at camp. I'm going to pray, and then we are going to give ourselves together to the study of the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the Bible you speak to us in a way that is true, in a way that is reliable, in a way that is always relevant to our lives. We pray now that you would send your Spirit, that the words that I speak and the thoughts of our hearts might be pleasing in your eyes. Amen. Let's get the slides up. As the slides come, let me make a confession to you. This is the confession. My favourite time at Orchard Road Presbyterian Church is doing what I've just done. Standing at the front of the church, the organ behind me, the choir behind me singing beautifully in tune, the congregation in front as we sing a hymn like Holy, Holy, Holy. That is a favourite moment. That is a taste of heaven. God's people gathered to sing his praise. There's something about singing in church that is so distinctly Christian, so powerful. Along with the ministry of the word and prayer, singing is at the heart of this weekly day that God gives us as our special time to come together. And that takes us to Psalm 92, which is assigned to us for the beginning of our emphasis on worship. If you have got eyes that can peer at small print, you'll see that Psalm is subtitled A Song for the Sabbath. So it's a psalm that calls us to praise God in song on the weekly day when we come together. For Jewish people, that's a Saturday. For us, it's Sunday. Last Sunday, I was preaching in Kathmandu for Easter Sunday. And in fact, it wasn't Sunday, it was Saturday. Because Saturday is the Hindu holy day in a place like Nepal. And so Saturday was the church day. So indeed, it would be a psalm for the Sabbath there. So this is a song, a psalm, that calls us to praise God on this special day as we come together. So today we're going to ask some questions of this psalm. What does the psalm teach us about praising God? What does it teach us? What attitudes does it cultivate in our heart towards God and towards worship? What attitudes does it cultivate? And third, what actions are we challenged to by this psalm? So this morning we're looking for things to know, we're looking for a challenge to our attitudes, and we're looking for a call to deeds. So let's get into the psalm. I'm going to ask some questions. The first one is, why do we sing? Now, in a moment, I'm going to ask, why do we sing praise to God? Just think about the action of singing for a moment. Why do we sing? A church like ORPC, we are big on the ministry of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and that's how it should be. Because the Bible is the inspired word of God. This is the place where God speaks to us authority, and every part of our life is to be under the word of God. So it is right in church when we come together that the preaching and teaching of the scriptures is central to what we do. But let's think about preaching for a moment. Preaching is primarily directed to our head. Preaching is telling us things about God and ourselves, things to know. Good preaching will move to the head, to the hands, as it calls us to deeds in response to what we know. But what about the heart? What about that inner place of our deepest attitudes and feelings? The attitudes and motivations of our heart are the link between what we know in the head and what we do with our hands. Head knowledge will not transfer into the action of our hands unless our heart has been addressed. The sung word of God, singing. Singing has a special ability to speak to the heart. Singing takes God's word deep inside our inner person. And then it allows us to express our inner person to ourselves and to God. If you like, as we sing, the words become ours and give voice to our deepest feelings. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 is at the end of a section where the Apostle Paul is urging Christian people to live the new life, sharing now in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And he says to us at the end of this exhortation, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Right? So let the word of God dwell in you richly. Listen now to the words that follow. Teaching, admonishing, admonishing is the application of God's word, and singing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. So there in Colossians 3:17, the word of God is to dwell in us through the public teaching and preaching of the scriptures, through the admonition or the individual application of the scriptures, and the word of God is to dwell in us as we sing. And that's why this psalm calls us to sing to God and tells us it's a good thing to do. I want to draw some applications right now. The first one is when we come together on church, do sing. You, like me, may not be a very good singer, so don't sing loudly and don't turn the microphone on if you're up the front and you can't sing well. The choir will lead us in singing well. But let me encourage you, even if you are not a good singer, do sing. So the word of God dwells in your heart and is expressed. When we sing, pay attention to the words. The words of well-written hymns are going to take the word of Scripture and put them in our hearts. So pay attention to the words. Don't just enjoy the music. And do sing to your heart and from your heart. So let's sing. Let's keep singing as we come together on Sundays. So that was the first question, why sing? Because singing addresses the heart. Second question, when should we sing? The psalm speaks of how we should declare God's love in the morning and his faithfulness by night. Morning and night. Now, in Singapore, most of us are very busy. I remember when I was here, I'd ask someone how they were, and the standard answer in Singapore, how are you? Busy. Everybody's busy. And whether you're a full-time carer for young children or an aged member of your family, whether you've got a job that occupies you from dawn to dusk, you know that our days here in Singapore are, they're full of things to do and we are distracted from God during the day. So it is a great habit to begin your day with God. As you eat your rice porridge, whatever you eat for breakfast, just open the Bible or put the Bible on in your ears on audio Bible. Let the word of God come in you in the morning that the word of God might frame your day. And at the end of the day, when you're about to hop into bed dead tired, you've had the hot chocolate, cleaned your teeth, put the alarm clock on, read the Bible again. Review the day before God and leave its anxieties of the undone business with God. So it is a good thing to bracket or bookend our day with the word of God. Now sometimes we can put singing into those personal devotional exercises. Watch what other members of family are around. They might have things to say about your singing if you're not a very good singer, but do sing as part of your devotions, that you might let the word of God dwell in you as you sing. I like to get to my present place of work, college where I teach, early in the morning, before anyone else is around, and that is when I have my time, significant time with God, and I'll often put on some Christian music. It might be the music of Thomas Tallis from 16th century England, or it might be contemporary Christian songwriting. It's good to put some music on as you encounter the Word of God. So let me encourage you to follow the lead of the psalm, sing. Sing in the morning and sing in the evening. So we've asked why sing. We've asked when should we sing. Next question is how do we sing? The psalm says to us that we're to use the lute. I don't see a lute in church today. We're to use the harp. I don't see a harp. And we're to use the lyre, three string instruments. We need some background. As you know, Orchard Road Church was planted in 1856. In 1856, there was a big debate going on in the Church of Scotland. The mainstream view was that we should sing only metrical psalms and they should be sung unaccompanied. So instead of having a director of music, you would have a precentor who would sound the note and then the congregation would sing the metrical psalms. Now, I've heard the metrical psalms sung in Gaelic in Scotland, and I tell you, it is dull and painful. It sounds like a cow has been stuck in mud and is slowly dying. It's ugly. That's the debate that was going on in 1856. Fortunately then, even we Presbyterians have gone on and we've read our Bible. And we've read here about how we should have the lute and the harp and the lyre, and we've read in Colossians of how we should have psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. And so we have broadened our musical repertoire. But look at Psalm 150. Forget the lute and the harp. Look at Psalm 150. Praise him with trumpet sound. And I'm glad we have trumpets from time to time here at our church. Praise him with the lute and harp. Tambourine and dance. Praise him with dance in a Presbyterian church. Goodness me. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Now, what should we take from that? I don't think it means this week we've got to go out and find a lyre and a harp and a lute and train someone how to play them. I think the principle is to use whatever musical instruments and musicians God gives us. The organ, of course, is a wonderful instrument and can replicate a variety of other instruments, and it is good to supplement it from time to time as we do. So how should we sing? Exuberantly, with passion, and with every musical instrument we can find. We asked before the question of why we should sing. Now I want to ask the question, why should we sing to God? Because that's what the psalm is calling us to do. We're not singing a football song. We're not singing praise of a lover. Christian people are called to sing to God. Do you notice the Bible often calls us to praise, but it always gives us a reason to praise. It gives content to our praise. And the reason for our praise is always to do with God, with who he is and what he has done for us. There are many good hymns in our hymn book. There are many good Christian songs being written now that lead us to praise God for good biblical reasons, and we should pay attention to those reasons the scripture gives us to praise God. Why should we praise God? First of all, it's just because God is God. In himself, he is so wonderful. Verse 2 points us to two big aspects of God's character that make him worthy of praise. It talks about declaring God's love and his faithfulness. The Hebrew word used there for love is a word for the mercy and the kindness of God. Our God is one who stands by his people. Our God does good to us. The word used here for love, it's the kind of word we use between two people who love one another with a deep, settled, committed love that lasts as feelings go up and down and circumstances change. The word for God's love here is a word for that deep, dependable love of God that we know so richly in the Lord Jesus. And we're to praise God for the love. And we're to praise him, again in verse 2, for his faithfulness. This is a word that speaks to us of the reliability of God. When God says he'll do something, he'll do it. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's predictable. He is the God who makes and keeps promises. I've just finished reading the book of Joshua in my morning Bible reading. And at the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua is an old man. He knows he's about to die. He looks back on his life and the history of Israel. And he says, no matter how many promises God has made, they have all been kept. That's the faithfulness of God that the psalm refers to. And that's a great reason to praise him. So when we put together the love and the faithfulness of God, we've got a wonderful combination there of the rich, generous, overflowing kindness of God who keeps doing it day after day after day, year after year. People will disappoint us. The world will change around us. But God is good and God is reliable. And that is a great reason why you and I should come together on this day of reflection and sing his praise. But we're only at verse 2. There is so much more in the psalm as to why we should praise God. Verse 5 tells us, the psalmist says, how great are your works. And he's about to recite those works to us. Great works deserve great praise. And that's where the psalm takes us. Now, here it gets a little tricky. Because the psalm's going to tell us of the good things that God does for his people. It's going to speak of his acts of salvation. This is in verse 10 and following. But before that, the psalm calls us to praise God for his judgments. And so it speaks in verses 6 to 9. It speaks about senseless fools, wicked people, evildoers, enemies of God, and how God will destroy them and scatter their works. That gives us a problem, doesn't it? Praising God for his judgments seems an odd thing to do. When we think about it, it's not such an odd thing. Let me tell you a story. A few years ago in my home state of New South Wales, there was a man who brutally murdered two members of his family. And then he went on the run. He was an expert bushman. He didn't go to the towns or cities. He stayed in bush areas. He'd go from isolated farm to isolated farm. When he needed food, he'd break into a farm and take it. When he needed a vehicle, he'd steal the vehicle. If he needed a firearm, he'd take it. Now imagine you're one of the farmers living in an isolated farm and you know this man is on the loose in your area. You're not going to sleep at night, are you? You're going to be anxious. You're going to be worried. You're going to be on edge while ever you know he's around. Eventually he was caught. And there was just this great sigh of relief from everybody who lived in the areas where he was. See, when justice is done, that's good news for the people of God. As Christian people, we should never rejoice in the suffering of someone who comes under God's judgment. We should always pity the person under God's judgment. But we can do that and at the same time praise God that he is a God of justice and righteousness who upholds the moral order and goodness of his world. We are glad in Singapore when our government administers justice and criminals are put behind bars. We're glad. We feel safer. Likewise, we should be glad at the judgments of God. Well, the psalm then takes us in verses 10 to 15 onto God's work of salvation applied to his people, extended to the whole of our life. And so the psalmist speaks of how you, God, have exalted my horn like that of the ox. You've poured over me fresh oil. We need an explanation. The ox is a beast of strength. And when it says you've exalted me like the ox, what it's saying is, God, you've made to be a strong person. When we read about oil being poured over us, don't know about you, but that feels icky and sicky to me. Now, oil, you're going to have to wash your clothes, aren't you? But in the ancient world, oil is a sign of blessing. So to be exalted like the ox, to have the oil poured over us, it's a vivid word picture of how generous, how great is the overflowing love of God. Then the psalm goes on with a different imagery. We're told that the people of God, that we are like a palm tree. In the desert, a palm tree is where you found shelter and food. And we are told that we'll be like a cedar in Lebanon, trees of remarkable resilience and strength. Verse 14, we're told of God's people, because of the saving grace of God, they will still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. There's the promise for God's people. As the birthdays are measured in tens and tens of the decades roll by, under the grace of God, we will still be strong and fruitful and productive. So as the psalmist thinks about who God is and what God has done, he finds lots of reasons to call us to praise God in the singing that is referred to earlier on. But you know, good as it is in the psalm, we've got even more reason to sing God's praise, don't we? Because the psalmist didn't see Jesus. If he speaks about the deep, dependable love of God, if he speaks about the faithfulness of God who keeps his promises, we see even more of that in the coming of the Lord Jesus. At church camp this year, did I mention to make sure you come to church camp this year? In the first talk at church camp, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 1, where we have this remarkable text. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Hear that? Every spiritual blessing in Christ, has been given to us in Christ. In the life, death, resurrection, ascension, present retain, and coming return of the Lord Jesus, we see even more of God's love and faithfulness and we have even more reason to praise him. So this psalmist calling us to a big praise of God based on what the psalmist knows of God, we know even more of God in Jesus. So our praise should be even more magnificent than the lute, the harp, the lyre, the clashing cymbals, the tramp, the trumpet, and the rest of it. I mentioned before that the psalm is called a song for the Sabbath. Is it only a song for our day of worship? There are hints in the psalm that it's not just to be sung with our lips on our church day, but we are to sing God's praise every day and in our everyday life. When verse 2 calls us to sing and give thanks to God morning and evening, it doesn't say just do it on Sunday or the church day. Verse 13, when it talks about how God's people flourish and go strong and know God's blessing, surely that's something we see in our marriages, our families, our health and the work God gives us to do. We see all that day by day. We should be singing God's praise day by day. And then in verse 14, as we get to old age and we see that resilience and strength that God gives us, we should be praising God there. So indeed, we sing God's praise on Sunday, the day of reflection. But we should turn, in the spirit of the psalm, the song of our lips should be turned into the song of life. I've put some quotes into the bulletin there. First of all, from the Book of Common Prayer, that lovely old prayer book of the Anglican Church. Listen to these words. We want to show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving our souls up to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. We want to show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but with our lives. What a wonderful sentiment. Or again, a beautiful, well-worded comment from one of the commentators on the psalm. Worship is service rather than services, fruitfulness rather than tunefulness, and lifelong, not just daylong. So let's indeed sing God's praise when we come together on Sundays. Let's sing God's praise, but let's make every day a day of reflection, thanks and praise. Let us sing God's praise and give thanks to him. Let us do so morning and evening. Let us do so with enthusiasm and every bit of music we can find. Let us praise him for who he is and what he does. Let us praise him all the more because of Jesus. And let us praise him with lips and life. As the psalm says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for musicians, Christian musicians who love you and compose music that expresses your being. We thank you for lyricists who write words that capture the truths of Scripture, that the Word of God might dwell in us richly through our singing. And we thank you we get to do that just now. Father, use this psalm, we pray, that we might know how we ought to praise you, that we might be motivated and moved to praise you, and that we might praise you with lips and with life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.